Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward Podcast. My name is Eliza Delgado, and I'm happy to join you today with one of my great friends. I've known her for a very long time. Her name is Anthea Schlebeck. She's a realtor in Austin, Texas. I'm so glad to have you with us today, Anthea. And I would love for you to introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Anthea Schlebeck. And like Eliza said, I live in the beautiful city of Austin, Texas. I am a native Texan, born and raised here, but I'm not a native Austinite. So we moved here back in 2015, and I have been a realtor since March of 2022. And it's been a whirlwind of activity. When I got my license, the interest rates went up. And so I've only known a difficult market, but that hasn't stopped me from working hard, doing what's best for my clients, and still doing very well in the industry.
That is awesome. Well, first of all, congratulations on being able to jump in a challenging market, because that sets you up for success when markets change and they're always in a better place. One thing that's really interesting about our relationship is you're actually married to one of my high school friends. So we have known each other for a very long time.
Yes.
But I know you guys also have a background in real estate investing. I know Ryan has been a part of that. Has that been something that helped you, you know, be set up for success when you decided to get your license and decided to go down this road of being an agent?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been instrumental in helping my journey and helping my clients make the best decisions possible. So when we moved to Austin, Texas in 2015 to be closer to my parents, we started the real estate investing company in 2016. So my husband, Ryan, started it full time while I still held my corporate job at Expedia. And so over their years, we started closing deals. So primarily, we would buy a house, we would fix it up, make it beautiful, employ local workers to, again, beautify the community, and then we would sell it. And so we learned so much in the process. We learned how to close deals. We learned what to look out for. And so during the pandemic, what ended up happening was that they closed the offices down from Expedia Group. And so that freed up all of my time that normally I use for commuting. So we expanded our real estate investing company nationwide. And I started talking to a lot of sellers that were interested in just selling their house to us directly. Most of them were in really tough situations. And so we helped them out, and that gave me the confidence to get my real estate license. And so by the time I got to real estate license school, so many of the terms were already familiar. And yeah. I discovered that just because I was newly licensed didn't mean that I wasn't already a seasoned real estate investor, because we've been doing it for years. And yeah. So it's been incredible. My husband has been an amazing mentor and supporter in this transition. And what I have found is that so many people now, when they're buying a house, they're really looking to make a fantastic investment. And that is a really big concern, because everybody eventually is going to be selling their property. So that's the number one question that I get. And it's been so valuable to be able to help these clients, telling them, like, look, this is the way the appreciation has been in the past. This is where what the economists are projecting is moving forward, and using a lot of data to help them make the best position, like the best decision possible. And that has been huge. So people don't have buyer's remorse when they actually get into their house and they know exactly what they're getting into. And then on top of that, with all of my clients, I do annual real estate reviews. So every year, right before property taxes go up here in Texas, they get an analysis of how much their property is worth. That way they know what their investment is worth, their biggest asset for most people, whether or not they should protest their property taxes, because here in the state of Texas, property taxes are high, and whether their insurance needs to be adjusted in the event that the value of their home has appreciated much higher. So yeah. All of this has just culminated. And in fact, the last 20 years of being in the workforce has really culminated in really trying to advise my clients to make it the best decision possible, even if it means not buying a house. Like I have told clients, like, I don't think you should buy this house. It's not the best investment for you. It's going to be a headache for you in the long run.
Yeah. So, okay. First of all, I love all of that. And I think it's so important that you have that kind of experience on the investment side, because you really are a true advisor instead of just, you know, the next deal, which I don't believe that most agents go into it being kind of like just trying to get that next deal. But always experience really helps people feel that trust factor, because you know what you're talking about. You've been in it for that investment component. Right. A couple of things that I wanted to touch on, just because I do know you personally, and I think this does weigh into, one, your competence, your confidence, and the way you approach the business itself. Yes, you came from a corporate background, but you and Ryan also attended West Point. So talk to me about like the discipline that it takes to be a proficient agent in your market that is very competitive. You having that background, how do you apply that background and that experience to kind of the things that you do in your day-to-day? One, to stay up to date, especially on the data, and the other to kind of stay engaged with your agents. How does that you know, kind of pipeline look for you in terms of, you know, how you stay prepared, how you gather information, and how you support your clients?
Yeah, so I think early on, like at West Point and serving in the Army during a time of war, my husband and I both deployed to Iraq for 15 months. And I just realized that there's so much at stake when it comes to people's lives back in the day, where, you know, if you make a miscalculated decision, it could cost somebody's life. So since a very early age, we learned the importance of being responsible of over preparing, just because I like to over prepare for anything that I'm doing, because it matters. Like everything is important. Like we take our job so incredibly seriously. And I think one of the things that I got the most out of West Point, not just the discipline, but it's grit, because life does get hard. No matter where you are, life is not butterflies and sunshines and rainbows. However, the saying is, life can get difficult. And so you got to keep putting one foot at a time and know that the more prepared you are, the easier it's going to be. And one of my favorite mentors, Jim Rohn, I listen to his YouTube videos all the time. He says, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better. And so I've really taken it to heart, where I rather point a thumb at myself and say, how can I improve and how can I rise up to the situation, instead of pointing fingers? Yeah. And so fast forward to now, like I got my license, the market has been very difficult, but we can do very hard things. And so it's over preparing for that listing presentation or for that buyer consult, having the systems and the processes in place so I get extra clear on exactly what my client wants, and advising them, whether it's them buying their homestead or buying an investment property or even flipping a house. I work with investors that decide to buy a house, fix it up, and then sell it, providing them with that advice. And now recently, my husband and I have started development. So we have new construction. So now I'm able to answer those questions of like, hey, what does it take to build a property? So advising them on the A through Z steps of all that it takes to build a new construction. Because for me, I always like leading a life of service. And so before I was through the military and doing right by others, my soldiers, my colleagues. And now that service has transferred over to real estate, because essentially it is the biggest investment. It is the biggest decision, one of the biggest decisions you are going to make in your life. It's a lot of money. And so that is why I take it so seriously. I know some agents think of like the next deal. But for me, it's more like, okay, I'm focusing on you, because I know that the deals will come. Like I know we're going to close, because I try to use a different part of my brain. And like I said, I have told clients, like, I don't think you should buy this house, because I don't want them to buy into a headache. We moved a lot in the military. And now that I look back, like a lot of the agents that we dealt with were not prepared. They didn't do right by us. We lost money because of them, because we overpaid on the property. And so I try to not do that we don't do that with my clients at all. So So all this to say is just providing the most valuable store. And by that, it's, you know, having market data and knowing that it's not just all of Austin, Texas, but every pocket in Austin, Texas is going to be different. Every subdivision is different, because every subdivision has a different school district. So there's so much that goes into play. It's not as easy as most people think, where you just put a sign in the yard and that's it. There's a lot of There's a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of strategy, a lot of analysis, a lot of strategy. So all this to say, it's been a very challenging, very rewarding role.
Yeah. So going back a little bit, and I love how you give me, you know, like the next question to ask while you're talking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could take this a million different ways. So when you're talking about preparing and all those kinds of things, obviously Austin is a very massive footprint with a lot of different directions that potential buyers can go. And that's a lot of information to try to absorb and also try to be the expert in. Mm-hmm. And I find a lot of times when I'm working with agents and when we have these kind of conversations about being the market expert, when you have such a large footprint in such a competitive market, are there specific areas within that footprint that you try to focus on? Or do you really try to absorb all of it and then, you know, kind of do your due diligence when the client or the opportunity comes your way? How do you approach that? Because I think that's a really great way to help other agents really kind of take a different look at the way they approach their business as well.
So I love that question. I have thought a lot about this question actually in the past. And this is what I'll tell you. As a new agent, because 2 years, what I have found is that you're still considered a newbie agent. You're going to be getting business from everywhere. I get a ton of leads, a ton of clients from the West Point community, from the Army Network, from the Service Academy Network. So some people will want to be up in North Austin. Other people will be in South Austin. So what I have found that works for me is that I will dive deep on the analysis because there is so much data out there and I know exactly where to look. I have all of these bookmarks that show the Texas real estate, the days on market. And since everything is hyper-local, I will look specifically in that segment and I will run analysis from the years on back. And then I provide that data analysis, which is what I used to do anyway at Expedia. Whenever I needed to persuade stakeholders to do something for my global team, I would provide that data. So it's just a practice. I'm now just doing it for real estate. And so that has been very helpful. And so sometimes it's zip code specific, sometimes it's subdivision specific. You get an idea of what is going on. And what I have found is that since I'm doing business everywhere because Army people are moving everywhere, I now have an idea of the overall items. And again, I just dive deep when the situation calls for it. Yeah. And I'm a data geek. It's just something that's second nature at this point, because anytime we invest in a property, we have to dive into the numbers and make sure that things are working for us. So it's already second nature. Over time, however, I think there will be a point maybe by year 10, 15, or 20 that I might have certain niches. But for now, that is not the case. I'm also an active participant in the rowing club. I'm a rower. And there are people that want to live in a different area of town. So, and again, it also depends on the price point. And what I say is everybody gets luxury service regardless of the price point that you have. And so there are pockets where it's a lot easier to buy versus others where, you know, it's people that have already been, you know, that are doing very well financially and potentially as well.
Yeah. So talk to me when you're, you know, servicing a very wide swath of client types, you know, from first-time home buyers to that really wealthy kind of client, which, you know, we've seen some of your listings lately. They're phenomenal. So congratulations on those. And also shout out to you for being Rookie of the Year with your Realtor Association, because I think that's an incredible accomplishment for, you know, being in the space that you're in. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
So one of the big things that's really important is one, being prepared is like 90% of the battle, as you know. The other part is really the EQ component of helping manage your clients' emotions, their fears, their concerns. In a market like we've been in, you know, really the kind of percentages are flip-flop. So you can be as prepared as you want, but really the emotions are maybe 80 or 90% because people are so fearful, or maybe they just don't feel as prepared as they should be, you know, for, you know, financial transaction, the size that we're talking about. So how do you handle those objections, the fears? How do you find yourself navigating those? And do you find, I imagine the answer is yes, data goes a long way to managing those emotions, but then how do you handle like getting past that last 10% hurdle or that last hurdle for people to make their commitments and go forward with a transaction?
Yeah, well, first I will say that when somebody's very emotional, no matter how much data and logic you throw at them, they're not going to meet you there because they're in a heightened emotional state, which makes sense. It's the biggest asset in many people's lives. And so what I have found is I've had a lot of practice over the years, Eliza. I mean, starting in the military, like when we were deployed, it was 15 months in Baghdad and it was brutal. And people were just, everybody was in such a heightened state of distress and stress. And so I just became very, I just listen. I let people get it out of their system and I put everything away. I don't have my phone. I tap people in the shoulder if it's appropriate. And I just get it out of their system and I tell them that I understand and I make them feel heard. Yeah. And then talk about the testimonials that I have in my back pocket. I tell them, like, I have your back. And I think so many people are comforted by the statement that I tell them, I will take care of you the way that I took care of my soldiers when I was in the Army and the way I took care of my team when I was in corporate. I'm like, but you alone are getting all of my attention. And so it's not just like saying the words, but it's actually doing what I say. When they call, I pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And it's like when they text, I reply back. I do tell them I go to sleep early because otherwise I fall asleep easily. But I'm like, look, I will text you if I am awake. And I think that level of responsiveness has been very helpful. I do sometimes have people tell me, well, do you have boundaries? I'm like, well, it's just, you don't understand. Like, this business is my baby. Like, you know, as you know, we don't have children. So the business is my child. And for me, it's such a fulfilling role, because that is how I continue my service to others. And so I think whenever when I tell my clients this, whether it's like a 20 something year old second lieutenant to an 80 year old client, I give them the same speech. And especially for the elderly, just knowing that I'm there at a moment's notice. You know, I have a client right now who does not feel comfortable with computers. And so she does the wet signature. And so I drive up there and we will do the wet signature. And then in the meantime, she will tell me stories and I just take my time and I'm present with her because all of that really matters. And she was a referral from another agent. It's, you know, her aunt. Yeah. And so just working through it all, and she needed some help with some work around the house. So I brought my husband, Ryan, and she loved Ryan, as you know. So it's just things like that where I make her, like I include them as part of the family because my clients become family.
Yeah. And that's what makes a client for life, is that white glove service, but also it's genuine care, which really does kind of set you apart. Yeah. Something that I'm always curious about, and I always like to ask agents that are really excelling, especially newer agents, because you really are excelling, what are the tools and resources that you use between technology? You know, there's all kinds of real estate technology tools. We use a whole bunch of them here. Obviously, we support agents with them. But then also, like, what other resources do you tap into? I'm always interested to hear, like, how are you using your local associations, that kind of thing. So talk to me about kind of that swath of things that you utilize to help you in your business.
Yeah. So in the last 2 years, there's been an evolution in the technology that I have used. So coming from Expedia, which is a tech company for travel, I really experimented with a lot. And so when I started my business, I had an idea of which tools I want to use. So currently I use Google Suite. I am a huge fan. I have everything organized, all of my systems, my calendars. My CRM is actually used in the Compass brokerage. And I am so delighted by being a member of Compass. So Compass number one brokerage in the United States. I feel so fortunate to be in this
brokerage. Fantastic firm.
They are so good. They provide so many trainings, and they even have a suite for marketing that you can use for social media, for email, for postcards. And then on top of that, Compass acquired our local brokerage, which is Realty Austin. So initially I joined Realty Austin. They are the number one brokerage here in Central Texas in Austin. And then Compass acquired them. So I still am part of the Realty Austin Compass umbrella, where I use the local staff who is very plugged in to the Austin Board of Realtors. And in fact, the last Austin Board of Realtors president is a Realty Austin Compass agent. So I leverage a lot of that technology, but in a nutshell, if you're not in this brokerage, I really do enjoy using Google Suite because it keeps me organized with Google Meet, with my Google Calendar. And then for my CRM, before this, I did use Salesforce, but now I am in the Compass one. What I will tell you is that the CRM you use is the best one that you can use. And my brokerage sends postcards twice a month to my sphere of influence. And then also work with a social media gal who helps me with all of my social media content because it's a little bit overwhelming. And I'd rather use that time servicing my clients rather than thinking about what I'm going to do next.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about an assistant, when did you make the decision to use a person for strictly social media as opposed to like a real estate assistant or another type of assistant? Because I think that's the other thing when you start really producing and you're starting to decide what can I delegate versus what do I keep? How did you make that decision of, hey, I think I'm going to focus on investing my dollars in a real estate or a social media assistant at this point?
So I knew that with our generation, Eliza, everybody's on their phone and everybody's on social media. And so I, and a lot of our sphere is on LinkedIn because I have a lot of West Point grads that are not on social media, but they are on LinkedIn. And so I had been trying to do it somewhat unsuccessfully in the years past. And when I joined my current brokerage, they offered a service where you could hire a social media coordinator. Yeah. And it was at a fee that I could afford. And if you want to cut this out, you can. I pay $550 a month for my
coordinator.
Yeah. So I pay her $550 a month. And anybody that's in Realty Austin can hire her or anybody in the social media coordinator team. We meet every other week and she uploads all the stories. I tell her what I want to post. I give her like the write-up and then she makes it pretty. She puts the emojis, the hashtag research. And that has been a game changer. And I can honestly say that that has brought me deals because I know that there are people that we met like at a West Point happy hour that Ryan hit it off with over bourbon and whiskey because it's pretty male dominated. So he will like talk whiskey with all the guys. And then we, over time, like I send them a LinkedIn request. They will see all of my regular posts and I'm the one that gets the call because we built the rapport. We come in as a package. And I've been very grateful to my husband because he brings me so much business because he's so
he's technically an unpaid member of the team.
Yes. But he's been a fantastic support because he's been real estate investing full time since the beginning. So his network is huge. People all over the West Point network know about him. And so when we have a private real estate West Point Facebook page, he immediately puts in my name. Like he's just so good at that. And I mean, we have it's a great partnership. We have a great marriage and we kind of figured out like how we're like the businesses are going to evolve over time. And it's really been a team effort. And I think the biggest struggle for me is that with being in the realtor world, you have to really get yourself out there and become real estate famous, which as you know, we're pretty like discreet and under the radar, but now as a realtor, like it really helps to really expose your brand. And that is why I hired the social media coordinator because I had heard through so many podcasts and YouTube videos, you have to become real estate famous. So I'm like, okay, well, I can spend $550 a month on my social media coordination. And then I have two other ladies that help with my transaction coordination. Mm-hmm. And then there's another lady who's a fantastic writer. She helps put the listings up in the MLS. So she'll write my listing and then I'll review it. I'll make some edits, but I have found that she does a better job than I would have done because I'm so direct and to the point and she's flowery in her. And it, time and time again, all of my clients, no matter how direct and intense they are, they always have loved the listing. And I focus on meeting local vendors and finding more clients because I have found that after we close on a deal, my clients are always asking me like, oh, would you have a vendor recommendation for this? So try to form those connections so that the level of service continues to stay high after we close.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, looking backwards in the last couple of years, since you are technically a new agent, but you've got a couple of years under your belt. Mm-hmm. What do you wish you knew before you became licensed? You know, granted, you already had a whole bunch of experience to begin with. But what do you wish you knew? What do you wish you had done differently? And if somewhere else, someone else were joining, you know, real estate now, what would you recommend that they focus on, you know, as a best practice to get started?
So I have had this thought before and this reflection. What I wish I would have known is how much money it costs to be a realtor versus a real estate investor. Because as a realtor, I have to pay broker fees. And that was a shock. I have to pay MLS fees and the ABOR MLS. It's expensive. And so I wish I would have known that. Like I did have the foresight of having savings for my first year of being a realtor. I was able to close my first deal at month four, but I'm glad I did that. But I think a lot of agents don't understand that like when you become an agent, you don't have medical insurance. and you have to pay to be in the business. So just being prepared and having the savings for that so that your stress level doesn't just go out of whack.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that is so important. And I think that's a lot of things that people don't understand. It's going to be sometimes several months before you see your first transaction, then you still have to pay all those things out of pocket. And so it's like, and I, you know, I'm in a market here in East North Carolina where it is very competitive. We have a lot of similar kind of footprint as, you know, Austin in terms of competition, especially in like markets like Raleigh and things like that, very metropolitan, very tech driven because there's a lot of relocation here, a lot of infrastructure development, those kinds of things. How have you stayed on top of kind of relocation data, you know, information like that, you know, the economic industry components, all those pieces that kind of force what, you know, feeds into the housing market and that kind of thing. What kind of pieces are you touching that informs that perspective on what's to come maybe 12 months, 18 months down the road? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So what I do is I join, I visit Chamber of Commerce events. I read the Austin Business Journal and I attend Austin Business Journal events where they talk about the industry and where we're headed. And I also attend the Home Builder Association events as well. I have some friends that are builders as well. So they invite me over and they have economists to talk about the projections moving forward. Yeah. So that's the biggest thing. And then the other thing I take a look at is in Redfin, I don't know if people know this, but in Redfin, there is a link where you can go and you can see where everybody is moving from to your city and where people are leaving your city to. Yeah. Does that make sense? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you have the arrow, so I can see it like the major metropolitan areas where people are moving to Austin and then the people that are leaving from
where
Austin,
they're going,
where else where they're going. And so that's been very helpful because then I can reach out to agents in those markets and say, hey, like, let's start this relationship so we can become referral partners.
I
so
love that.
That strategy in mind.
Yeah.
And so that I can do my research and interview other agents. And that's why I've been so thrilled with the Compass acquisition of Realty Austin, because there are fantastic Compass agents nationwide. And I actually just got invited to this mastermind called The Network at Compass. And I am an Austin agent and we have phenomenal agents everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's been great because now I'm able to see like who the Los Angeles rep is and who the Florida and the New York, because we have people moving from everywhere and to everywhere. So that's very helpful. And I'm very excited that I was selected to be the Austin candidate.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome. We have a couple of Compass offices in the Raleigh market and we just love working with them. They're just phenomenal as a whole. I mean, their leadership is phenomenal. Their agents are phenomenal. So it's always a really great thing when you hear like nationwide, their firm is just so consistently good. And that doesn't happen by accident. So I'm glad that you landed with the firm that supports you in the way that you really need to be supported. So as we're kind of wrapping up, I wanted to ask you about, you know, the last question, you know, last shot across the bow. Let's talk to me a little bit about the competition aspect in Austin. And I know you hinted a little bit about it, but just talking about, you know, working collaboratively with other agents and other firms, you know, obviously you talked about being a famous agent. And, you know, we know it's a competitive industry as a whole. So what does it look like for you when you are trying to win that next deal? How are you building rapport amongst your colleagues at other firms? And how are you helping your clients to win their next deals and setting them up for success?
Yeah, so I think part of being a good agent is also having positive relationships with other realtors, because it's going to take two realtors to get to the closing table, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in cooperating. And there was a famous saying at West Point, cooperate and graduate, mean work together and graduate. And so I've held that same philosophy over the years and throughout life. And that's given me a lot of success. And so it's being selfless to my other colleagues, because it is a very difficult industry. And most people are not aware of how difficult it really is. And so if somebody needs help with an open house, like, of course, I'm going to help you with an open house, especially if I'm available and it's like right around the corner from me. Like, I will help you out, helping somebody with the CMA, providing feedback when people ask them to, and just really even just being a sounding board when somebody's really stressed or when a deal goes wrong. And so it's first doing that. And then also whenever I am having a conversation with my seller during the listing presentation, is informing them that the relationship that I have with other agents is really going to help, because I don't want to be that agent that people roll their eyes or say, oh, like she's going to be difficult to work with, because it's a relationship business. And I learned that first and foremost as a real estate investor, like in order for us to get private money lending and to, you know, make friends and recommendations, you need to work well with others. And so it's the same attitude that I have as a realtor, and it's worked out really well. And I just feel so blessed to be surrounded by so many incredible agents. It's been awesome. Like I get excited when I learn so much from others, and it's always, you know, keeping an attitude of humility and gratitude, because you're always learning. There's always somebody out there that is going to have like that extra trip. And what I've noticed this year is that all of the agents that I've worked with, man, they've been so smart. And
yeah,
you know, times where I will send them a thank you card, like, thank you so much for being, for bringing me a buyer. Thank you so much for working so hard for your buyer and bringing this to the closing table, because it really is a team effort. So I'm a big believer in working together to get our clients to the closing table so that everybody's happy.
Yeah. And I think the other part that comes through is the fact that you're just genuine. And it's not an act. You're pretending to just get the deal done and that kind of thing. And people sense that. And so I think when you're truly genuine, you mean to do well by people and you're well-intentioned, all that stuff translates and helps you really foster even more positive relationships. So it just means that you're a great person. So thanks for being a great person, doing great work in Austin. Yeah. And I have one last question. Last question is, how are you lending it forward?
Oh my God. This is my favorite question. I love it. Yeah. So I think it's so important to give back. And so every time that I have a closing, I tithe, I give a big chunk to a couple of charities that I'm really passionate about. And that would be the Habitat for Humanities. We have like a huge chapter here in Austin, Texas. I give to Foundation Communities, which is low income housing, and it's beautiful low income housing. Like, it's so nice. Volunteered, to serve food as well. And then I also give to Underground Railroad and to veteran community. So a chunk of what I get paid goes to local organizations that help people not suffer so much, because life can be tough sometimes.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And of course, that goes back to your character and how good you are as a person deep down inside. And I'm so grateful to know you. And I'm so grateful that you joined us today on the Lending Forward podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. And I'll look forward to having you back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road and see how things are going for you. But in the meantime, keep doing great work. And thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Eliza, for having me.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.